o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. But before we can get to Matt Bowen, Tausch needs to tell us about AmFan.
Well, Matt Bowen and I both dreamed fearlessly that we'd be NFL players. We were drafted right around the same time as Tom Brady, and American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of Wilde and Tausch for almost 100 years. They've been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection, so you're free to enjoy chasing your dreams. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at AmFam.com.
So you, obviously, you guys were in the same draft together. You were also on the same field together, right? When
yeah, we played together
when
for
Ron Dane
at least a season. Oh well, no, I thought we played in Green Bay for one, maybe two seasons. I don't remember exactly.
Oh, for sure. For sure, no, one. For sure you did. Yeah, but I meant in college. You were on the. You, did you
oh,
block
yeah.
him?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I blocked him well.
I'm sure you did. Well, let's unblock him and let him join the show. Joining us now. One of our favorite Hawkeyes, one of our favorite guys, and one of Tausch's favorite teammates and draft classmates from ESPN. It is Matt Bowen on Wilde and Tausch. Matthew, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I was listening to you guys. Yeah, Tausch got me in, a couple times. So that entire Wisconsin offensive line, and that would have been the 99 game. We went up to Madison. That was a game that Ron Dane broke the record. So wasn't a great night for us. Wasn't a great night for the Hawks, but a really good night for Tausch and the Badgers.
Would you
yes,
say
it was? That was a fantastic night, but that was kind of the start. I think that was Ferentz's first year, and I unfortunately got a very good seat to last season's game at Iowa. Great campus. Oh, I had not spent a ton of time down there, Matt. I love that campus. Now that is a great setup,
yeah,
and
great.
The fact that y'all bludgeoned us to death. Put a big sting in it, but great place. That is a fantastic spot down there in Iowa City.
It is. Downtown is great. The Ped Mall down there. You get a lot of fun down there. And a lot different. I was just there this past weekend watching spring practice and seeing Coach Ferentz and the guys out there and how much has been done to the campus in terms of what they've done to upgrade around campus, the buildings. The English building that I went to is still there, unfortunately, but the rest of the buildings are really nice on campus. They've done a great job downtown. Just the restaurants, what they've added, it is outstanding. Obviously, Madison, I've been to Madison. Obviously, as a player multiple times, but also just as a fan. And obviously, that's one of the best in the Big Ten also.
Mm-hmm. No yeah, doubt. It's almost Iowa almost as nice as Madison now. All right, Matt, look, I know you were Cooper DeJean before Cooper DeJean, but
– no.
Well, okay, maybe that's an overstatement. But I use him as an example of the inexact science that is the draft industrial complex,
sure.
Right? Like, you know ball as well as anybody. That's why we love having you on. Frankly, I wish we had you on more. But you saw him play a ton. You're an Iowa guy. Everyone mm-hmm. had him in their mock drafts because it's this echo chamber of mock drafts. Everyone had him sure. going to the Packers in the first
yep.
round. Not only does he not end up with the Packers, he doesn't end up in the first round, goes to Philly, has a pick six of the Super Bowl. Looks like he's off to a pretty decent
right.
start as an NFL player. Help me understand your process of going through the pre-draft, you know, film that you're looking at and trying to project. Because it, as much as you know, there's a lot you don't know, and that is how teams are
That's
viewing
right.
guys, whether it's the same way as you're viewing them.
I agree, and what I can do is what the film says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watch the tape or the film, however you want to call it, throughout the season. Watch it postseason. Look at their traits, how they would fit in an NFL defense, in a way in their production. Obviously, the testing times do matter when you're talking about a position like corner or safety, and obviously a wide receiver. But, I don't have the entire picture. That's what I'm trying to say. If you work in an NFL building right now, you're trying to get the entire picture. You're talking to the position coach, their head coach, their strength coach. You're verifying their football character, what level that is at. You're verifying their work ethic, how they're going to prepare as a pro based on how they prepared at the college level. And you're looking at them versus top-tier competition. What do they do versus NFL competition? What do they do against you know, average college competition, because it's going to change. That's one of the toughest parts, is when you're watching the tape and they're not going against an NFL guy, right? And they're a very productive player and they have the traits, but they're not doing it against, you know, competition they're going to see in the future on Sundays. That's a tough part of it also. So at that part, you really just have to focus on the traits. And then look, it's really no different than high school recruiting. You know, I've been coaching at the high school level for 11 years now, and it's very similar. The top tier talent is based on height, weight, and speed and measurables, right? Those are the guys that go to the big time college programs. Does that mean they're going to be big time college players? It does not. And we see that all the time in the NFL draft, especially in the first really 30, 40 picks, where prospects are drafted based on what they can be, what their perceived ceiling is going to be. But again, it's based on those traits. And some guys just can't put it together at the NFL level, or get put in, you know, negative situations based on the team they're with, based on the level of talent they have in that football team, based on the position they play. There's so much that goes into it, Jason, that you do make mistakes. And you also see players that are overlooked, like Cooper DeJean, who I thought was a top 20 player last year, goes in the second round, and you say, you know what? He was one of the best rookies in the entire league last year.
Matt, I guess one of the questions I have is, you also want to see how guys respond to adversity, because, listen, no doubt, height, weight, speed, all the stuff that you see at the combine, that's all goes into the equation. But part of what I want to see, and I'm sure a lot of evaluators want to see, is, how do you handle adversity? How do you handle having bad things happen? Because it's going to happen to every player. And with this new system of college football, with guys leaving, transferring, and kind of always looking for the easier option, has it gotten to be a lot more difficult to evaluate guys?
I think it has, for sure, Tosh. And that's why I like the Senior Bowl so much. It's because of the Senior Bowl, when you're down there, you get to see live football, obviously, but you're not going to win every rep, right? You get to see how they're coached, how they respond to coaching, how they respond to a new voice, which is an NFL voice, because they have NFL coaching staff down there in the field in Mobile. I think that's one way to look at how a player can handle, you know, football adversity on the field. But also, to your point, you know, Tosh, there's not – how many programs are left in college football? You know, using the term program, how many programs are left? Because it is free agency right now in college. And it's tough to evaluate that, to your point, because the first sign of adversity, a lot of what we're seeing, not everyone, I'm not saying every college player that transfers, but the first sign of adversity, different than when you and I played at Iowa and Wisconsin, where you were locked in, really, and you had to work through the adversity. That's part of being a college athlete back in the 90s. Is if you transferred, you sat out for an entire year. So that wasn't really an option. So you figured out a way to make it work, right? But now you can't just get up and leave. It is tough, and it is part that is going to make the evaluation process even tougher. Look, I tell the kids I coach all the time, where I coach at IC Catholic here in Elmhurst, is I had to wait 3 years post high school to play college football. I went to Iowa as a quarterback. That didn't work out. My redshirt freshman year, I played on special teams. That was it. And then my sophomore year, I was like the dime safety. Well, back then, people were still running the power eye. You know, you didn't have your sub package in the field, but maybe 5-8 plays a game. So that's my first 3 years of college football, right? And then I earned a spot as a junior. And also, I played behind two guys that went to the NFL in the secondary. And they were better than me. I wasn't ready to play yet. I needed the time to develop. And I'm wondering right now, you know, in terms of comparing it to this discussion we're having, how much developmental time are guys really getting? How much are they really getting coached in college football right now? And that's, again, part of the evaluation process. And I think you have to look that when they get to the NFL, there's going to be a longer developmental period because of the transfer portal.
How much NIL money would you get today?
You don't really have time. Is what's that?
I said, how much NIL money would you get today, Matt?
I mean, I just need enough for Bush Light in Iowa City. I mean, I don't need a lot. I'll tell you a quick story. You know, I worked for the Daily Iowan when I was in college. I wrote a column for the Daily Iowan. But during the season, I would get $8 a column, okay? And during the season, I could not accept the money for the NCAA. I could not. They said it was illegal to accept $8 for writing a column in the Daily Iowan. That's eight Bush Lights right there.
Well, we drink Coors Light on this show, but be that as it may. Sorry, Tausch, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the idea of development and having that now, you're going to see, and I'm sure you see this with your high school guys, it's going to be more of a process that you're going to have to go to some of these smaller schools, develop, mm-hmm. and then these smaller schools, the South Dakotas and some of these programs, are basically feeding the big boy collegiate programs, and that process – you're going to be playing earlier, but you're going to be playing at a smaller level because I think most, unless you're a 5 or 4-star recruit, my story and your story would not be starting, at least I can only speak for me, would not be starting at Wisconsin. It would be starting at a smaller school that then you build to get to the point where you can go and play at an Iowa or a Wisconsin.
Sure, and think about this too, Tosh. There's not as many scholarships left for high school kids right now.
Nope.
It's tough because, you know, if you're a college coach and we know it's the business of winning and you have to win now, are you going to take a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid coming out of high school? Or are you going to take a 20-year-old that's played 2 years at, let's say, Bowling Green or NIU or South Dakota State, right?
Yep.
Who is game ready, who has played in big games, that is ready to compete in the Big Ten now, right? And that's the tough part. That's why I brought up how many programs are left in – how many will be left in 3 to 4 years if the NCAA in college football doesn't come to some sort of agreement where you can make this a situation where players can earn money for their name, image, and likeness, but also be able to build programs, also have players sign contracts. To get a hold of this and to tighten it a little bit, okay, so you can create a playing field that is at least somewhat even. Now, look, Ohio State and Michigan – and the Big Ten are always going to be different than Iowa and Wisconsin. I think we all can all agree with that. But can you make it a little bit more of an even playing field?
No doubt. All right, Matt. I'm intrigued with Green Bay's opportunities here. You're a defensive back guy. That's kind of where you study all of it. But anybody that you think would be a good fit at that spot that might be available, who are those top guys? Because I think Green Bay is in the market for a corner that could come in and be what Cooper DeJean did last year. Anybody in that ballpark that you think it might be a good fit?
Yeah, I do. Now, I think Will Johnson would be an excellent fit. I don't think he's going to be there when Green Bay is on the clock. That's a corner from Michigan. Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky is one I really looked at. In terms of what I think Green Bay wants to be more aggressive in terms of their foundational coverage. I think they want to play more man coverage. I think everyone in the NFL wants to do that right now. And Harrison is a man corner. Does that mean he can't play zone? No, he can play zone. He has zone vision. What I mean by that, guys, he can play off the ball, read through to the quarterback, and get a jump on the football to make plays. But he also has the man traits you want in the secondary. Trey Amos from Ole Miss has length at the cornerback position. He had 15 PBUs. Passes broken up, the second most in the nation last year. He can play press. He can open and run. He can drive and in-breakers. And, again, he can play off the football. And he's a willing tackler. And that's the one thing. Because this is going to be brought up, especially over the next 2 weeks, when it comes to the cornerback position. You don't have to be, you don't have to be Steve Atwater. Okay, you don't have to be a safety that is physical and strikes on contact. You have to be a willing tackler. You have to get the ball carrier on the ground. Okay, so if you are willing, and I'm your secondary coach, I can teach that, right? I can encourage that. I can motivate that. I can make that stronger. But you just have to be willing in that situation. Thomas out of Florida State. He was excellent down at the Senior Bowl. Excellent down at the Senior Bowl. Long press corner. Again, someone who fits for a defense, I think, wants to play more man coverage. I think that area right there, those three corners, if you're a Green Bay fan and you're saying, well, I think the team might look at the secondary, those three corners, that'd be the ballpark I'm looking at.
Matt, I read your 100 traits piece on ESPN Plus. You go through all these different positions and all the different traits. The one I'm interested, though, since Tausch asked about defensive backs, is the defensive line, right? I mean, we're talking about the guy that we're talking about in Green Bay is Shamar Stewart, who came in for a visit.
Yeah.
He had the 9.99 RAS score, and he had like 1.5 sacks a year. How do you view him? Because he did have a visit to Green Bay. Goody loves RAS scores, but the production would scare me.
That's a great point. You have to say what it does. Do the traits outweigh the production? If they do, then you draft him. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe that the traits are going to transition into a situation where you're going to be a productive pro, then you pass. I know that sounds really simple, but you have to look at the tape. Now, there's things in the tape with Stewart. His pursuit speed is excellent. His range on the defensive line, especially off the edge, is excellent. He has everything you want in terms of building an edge rusher in the National Football League. But the production is, you still have to say, guys, the production was not there. Why was it not there? Is he close to getting there? Can he be more efficient with his hands? Can he take a different rush pass? Are there things I can teach, more importantly? And that's the discussion you have to have with the general manager and your coaching staff. Can we teach this in Green Bay? Can we teach him to play Green Bay Packers football? Can we do this? Because he has everything else we want. But you have to really bet on your coaches and really trust your coaches if you're going to take a chance on someone who simply didn't have high-level production in college and you're taking him in the first round.
All right, I want to ask you about one other pass rusher, then we'll let you go. I think Mel Kiper has this guy as his pick for the Packers. It's Mykal Williams from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
They have a history of drafting Georgia guys. They also drafted another Iowa guy who doesn't join our show as often, in Lucas Van Ness, who they call him Hercules. But what we've seen from him is perhaps a struggle to develop beyond the bull rush, more counter moves as a pass rusher. He hasn't been super productive. What do you think about Williams? Because you have him in the best speed to power category of your skill sets on ESPN.com.
I think he has tremendous upside. I think that's what you're drafting because all the physical tools are there. All the physical tools are there. If you're looking for a powerful edge rusher who can generate enough speed off the edge to wrap the corner, but also to drive offensive tackles back and create pocket disruption. And I look at the physical tools because he has the frame, he has the play strength, he has the power at the point of attack. He still has to develop in certain areas, but again, you have seen enough on the tape. Especially against SEC competition, you've seen enough production in the tape to say, look, when we get him with our coaches and we get him with our veteran players, this someone can develop into a starting edge rusher for us. In terms of Lucas Van Ness, yes, I agree with what you're saying. He has to develop more, develop a deeper rush plan. He has to. But again, the traits are there. And you're looking at someone who's still – Lucas is only 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember that. He came into the NFL at 20. He's only 23 years old. He's not even entering his prime years left. So I'm not guaranteeing anything, but if I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, don't give up on him yet. Don't give up on him yet. Because I know how he was at Iowa, and you have to say, okay, maybe this is the year after 2 years in the NFL, 2 years of self-scouting, of knowing this divisional opponent, this is the year when he plays a much more productive role for us.
And you'd say that if he played for the Badgers, too.
I would. Yes.
Matt, we love you, buddy. Thanks a lot. We always appreciate your time. Let's catch up again soon.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
That is the magnificent Matt Bowen, who, if you don't read him on ESPN.com, you're not as smart about football as you could be if you did read him. It is well worth your time, much like it's well worth your time to make a road trip to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford like we're going to be making in a couple weeks.
Indeed we are. If we're going to go down to watch Matt Bowen coach up his kids, heading down towards the Chicago area, oh, baby, the new Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. And if you're hungry, guests can enjoy diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe, Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, Bricked Italian Kitchen, I Love the Noodle Bar, Street Tacos, and Constant Grind. Head on over. Again, you're heading down 90. Take that beautiful trip. Right on the left-hand side of the road, you see that big old purple and yellow gold guitar. That means you're at the premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, the Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
More Will Dean Towns straight ahead. Stick around. All right, in Madison, we are going to step aside for Brewers coverage. You can still listen to us in Milwaukee and Beaver Dam, and of course find us on YouTube and streaming. Brewers are next on ESPN Madison. Stick around for another half hour of Wilde and Tausch. Bye. hello again. Brewers pregame underway on 100.5 ESPN Madison, and of course, our sister station, 620 WTMJ. This is going to happen from time to time, but we are thrilled that we now are the home of the Milwaukee Brewers in Madison as well, so that's awesome. That said, Tausch, we're not going to yank Joshy into the conversation as we shift over to Milwaukee and have him suddenly do a whoa, Joshy. So I wanted to ask you this because Matt.
Why not? Well, Joshy's a multifaceted star.
He is multifaceted. I would say that as segues go from one connection to another and maybe some of the other logistics required. Not the smoothest. So
you're thinking Joshy's just not, he can't think quick on his feet. I get it. I get what you're saying.
That's not what I said.
I disagree.
Josh, would you like to do whoa, Joshy?
Would I like to? Now, I'm staring into a room of what I believe to be grade school kids who are on a tour that are really distracting me. They all were waving to me as I opened up the mic for the first time. I don't know if I want to show them on camera as they're kids, but yeah.
I don't think that's even legal.
Yeah, there's about a dozen or so kids that I'm looking at right now. Hi, guys. How is everybody over there? I got thumbs up from everyone.
Nice. This has been Woe Joshy. Tausch, we talked with Matt Bowen, who's as good as it gets, right? I mean, we don't hold it against him that he's an Iowa guy, just like we don't hold it against Blue. He's super insightful. He knows the game. He obviously played in the NFL. He wrote for the Daily Iowan newspaper as a student and couldn't take his $8 for his columns that he would do. But what I thought was interesting was when we talked about, and Josh, you're the draft, Nick, is it Michael Williams? It's not Michael. It's M-Y-K-E-L Williams from Georgia. And then we talked about Shamar
Stewart,
who had the 9.99 RAS score. Neither one of those guys, obviously Stewart even worse, but neither one of those guys with huge production. Does that concern you if you are looking at this draft? Does that scare you off if you were in a scouting spot, or are you intrigued by those types of prospects?
Was that a question to me?
Yes, Josh, right? Yeah.
No, I was asking
Josh,
you.
Correct?
No, it was you.
Oh, I thought you were asking Josh.
I thought that was old D.
No, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, Jay,
I just wanted to get the pronunciation from him.
Oh, it does, because I think there's a lot of great players. There's a lot of players that have lived up to the hype about their RAS score and everything else, but part of the deal is you have to figure things out. And I understand college, you know, there's not, unless you're at one of the big, big, big boy programs where you have four or five guys, if you're a defensive lineman, that can get after the passer, there are going to be ways that teams will block you and try and slow you down. You have to overcome those, and the great players do. I mean, there's plenty of time. Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt, the guys that are the DPOY candidates every year, they get the same amount of attention. They figure ways to still be productive. So I think, you look at Rashawn Gary, who had all the intangible or all of the tangible numbers that you want to see, and I thought he had taken a step, but you want to see both. And I think that's what Matt Bowen was getting into with you want to verify all of the things, the numbers that you see at the combine that let you know, that give you the analytics and the indicators that this player measures up to other players that were great football players. Then it comes down to watching film, and that is your verification. I think one of the things that I thought, and I knew this, but the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. You love the Senior Bowl because you get guys in a high-pressure environment. You see them in the drills. You see how they interact with other guys. You see how they react when they get beat, if it's a corner or if it's a quarterback throwing a pick or if it's a lineman getting beat, how do they respond? You get a really good snapshot into how guys are as dudes, how they get along with their position groups that they're with, and how they respond when those things happen. So I always like to see the whole package, but there's not a lot of guys that have all of that. And then it comes down to, especially in those mid rounds or late, do you trust what you've seen consistently, or do you hope that that potential that is there that shows you what might be will get there? That's where you trust your coaching and where you trust your culture and where you trust your program to elevate guys. It's always a difference of opinion in some organizations. I always love seeing this is going to be this guy. I know this is what I'm getting. When you're talking about third, fourth, fifth round picks, you want to take those flyers on the big time talents later, and you hope that they, and if they don't, no big deal. It's when you take those risks, the Justin Rosses from the Cincinnati Bengals, fastest guy ever, all this stuff, and it never pans out. You can't miss on a seventh player in the draft. You can't. And when you do, it sets you back organizationally, and especially when you do it at quarterback, and especially if you give up picks. So you want the total package. There's not a ton of those guys. But you should, with a first-round pick, you want to get at least some semblance of both.
So I'm curious because, and I thought Matt Bowen, you know, obviously we both think the world of him, but he talked about that, right? The coaching. Can your coaches bring out the best in these players? But I wanted, when we had him, to ask him about Lucas Van Ness, because you said it from the moment they drafted him. You segued right from pick swap, pick swap, pick swap, which they did in the trade for Aaron Rodgers. And then they pick him 13th. Will McDonald goes 15th to the Jets. He's been more productive to this point in his career after 2 years in the NFL. But you said it from the very beginning. This guy who they call Hercules has to develop the counter moves. He's not going to just be able to bull rush guys like he could at Iowa. And so 2 years in, when Matt's talking about this and saying don't sleep on him and don't give up on him, Packers fans, at what point is the waiting kind of over and they are what they are? Because I would argue, and I wrote this on Channel 3000, that at least for the from the Packers' perspective, we have not reached that point with Lucas Van Ness. And certainly from Matt Bowen's perspective, we haven't reached that point. But at the same time, you've been saying, as an offensive lineman who blocked guys like this, for 2 years you've been saying, you've got to develop more counter moves, or guys in this league can just shut you down. And largely, more often than not, that's what's happened to Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, there's a, I think defensive line is probably one of those spots, unless you are a freakazoid, and there are guys like that, you're going to have to figure things out. And most of the really good pass rushers, not the elite of elite, not the T.J. Watts, the Myles Garretts, and even those guys, I would guess, there's a process that they learned as rookies that they're a heck of a lot better players in year 5, 6, 7 than they were in years 1 and 2. Lucas Van Ness has, you knew he was not going to be a bust because he is somebody that has strength, he can play the run, he can do certain things. But in order to justify being a 13th overall pick, this business isn't about just being a good run stuffer anymore. Not at that point. Mm-hmm. You need to have some production in the pass game. That needs to be part of it. And that comes from learning, oh, I have this guy set up. He is anchoring. He's anchoring. I need a hand swipe. I need something that will utilize my strength, and I can counter with that. So now I don't have to, as an offensive lineman, just sit there and say, oh, I just take away his power. Well, I also better make sure I don't lunge, and I better make sure this doesn't happen. That's the next step for him. Matt Bowen believes, because he's still a young player, that is always a part of this. He is not close to being elevated. I don't think he's hit his elevator on either side. He has not measured up. Right now, I think his physical's higher, but the mental is not where it needs to be. And hopefully, he gains confidence and all of those things. And they get up there where he is at that peak performance for him. We have not seen that. Now, things need to pick up. This needs to be a season that we start seeing some flashes, because right now, there had been enough flashes of greatness. There had been hardly any, if you're being honest about it. That's where he needs to start showing that, because you show that, coaches see that, coaches give you more opportunities, and within opportunities, you get more production. That's how this needs to look.
We've talked about the expectation game many, many, many times, right? And we use A.J. Hawk as an example. He was the fifth overall pick. The 2023 draft class, the members of that class that are still here, Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Colby Wooden, Sean Clifford, Dontavion Wicks, Carl Brooks, Carrington Valentine. That's nine guys from a 13-player draft. All of them have had moments, some more than others, right? I mean, Jaden Reed has had more than just moments. Fair? I mean, he's led them in receiving each of the last 2 years. Tucker Kraft has had more than moments.
He's not even in this conversation. He has elevated himself. He's a big-time player already.
Carl Brooks has had moments. Dontavion Wicks has had moments. Carrington, you think Dontavion Wicks has had more than moments or no?
No, he has been inconsistent at best.
Yeah, but he's had moments. I think he's definitely had moments.
I don't know.
You don't agree that Dontavion Wicks, who has caught touchdown passes, 39 catches each of the first 2 years, which rank fairly high in terms of...
I'll just put it this way. You're a lot higher on Tay Wicks than I am. Okay. A lot.
My question was going to be, who among these... Luke Musgrave has had moments, but he's also had a lot of injuries. Who among these 2013 guys, if we're talking about... I don't know how it's debatable whether they've had moments or not. The question is whether they're good or not. I'm not ready to say they are either. They have a lot to prove. All these guys in this class have a lot to prove, except Tucker Kraft, who I think we agree has elevated. But everybody else, there's stuff to prove here. Carrington Valentine's going to have the opportunity to prove himself. I think your guy Carl Brooks is going to have more opportunities now with T.J. Slayton gone. And he's going to play more. But who else do you expect to elevate from that group the way we're talking about Lucas Van Ness needing to? Because he's the first-round pick, so we talk about him a lot more, is my point.
Yeah, Jaden Reed is at the top of the list for me. I think he has the capabilities to being somebody that you're excited about, and consistency. Yeah, I guess if you're looking at singular moments, yes. I have not seen near enough consistency to say that I have any confidence that it's going to be Tay Wicks or that it's going to be...
Totally fair.
That's where I'm at. But I think when you look at Jaden Reed, has shown me enough to know that it's there, that he has that capability of being there. I am concerned that he
about
was
the
able
second
to
half
shut
of last
down.
Season.
Thank you for finishing my thought, because that's what I was going to say.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. So how does that influence your expectations of him? Because he was on a milk carton during the second half of last season. And
I've seen
guys that are elite
know,
don't have that happen.
Maybe my thoughts that he'd be the guy, maybe he needs to be the guy behind the guy. And I don't know who that guy could be. Maybe it'll be your guy, Tay Wicks. Maybe he'll shock the world, and he's got all these moments that you're seeing that I haven't. He's had a couple of moments. It's been way too much. He's been way too inconsistent for me at this point.
But I think that's
he does have the get open ability. That's something everybody always, he gets open. Nobody gets more open than he does. All right, great. Well, then let's produce.
Catch
that's
it
great.
When it gets thrown to you then. Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. I don't disagree with anything you said there. I just, my point is, he has had moments. They need to be more frequent. The only thing I give him credit for is that in the, he had 3 drops in one game. He finished with 9 drops. If you look at his numbers during the second half of last season, he took something that he wasn't doing very well, and he did fix it. Whether that means that it's going to return in 2025 or that he has resolved it the way Devontae Adams resolved it, I don't know. But I think there's still enough there to say, okay, let's see what kind of jump he makes.
Well, unless Green Bay drafts 7 guys, you're going to get all these opportunities. All of these guys, the guys that we're all looking at last year saying, who is going to emerge? Who is going to be Rachel? We got no Rachels. We got a bunch of Joey's sisters right now. And that show, we know how that show went. The Way of the Woolly Mammoth. Which is going to be reincarnated by scientists here shortly, but it's all another story.
Maybe a comeback like the White Buffalo. All right. If you were there for our kind of transition as we got ready for Brewers coverage in Madison, and you're like, well, this was kind of awkward. Well, guess what? If you use the new ESPN Wisconsin app, we would have still sounded awkward, but your streaming experience listening live would have been easy, right? Live listening, show replays, exclusive content, it's all on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. It's the Wisconsin sports fans' best way to stay in touch with your favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows and keep up with your favorite teams. So find the new ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores. Tausch and I and Joshy will wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, we're out of time. A little bumpy landing for Wildy and Tausch today. Tausch, we got anything big planned for tomorrow?
We do. We have Coach Luke Fickell scheduled to join us, I think, around 11 a.m. tomorrow is the plan. So,
wow. All right, I wanted to confirm that that was public information we could share. That's it for us today. Luke Fickell scheduled to appear tomorrow on Wildy and Tausch. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.